Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. And today, my very special guest is CAL FIRE Captain Mike Cornett. And we are going to be talking about fire safety and what you should know to stay safe as fire season approaches. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Can you start by telling us what the outlook is for the next couple of months as we're coming into September, October, typically our worst time of year for the big wildfires in San Diego County?
Yeah, I think first we want to start off with the fire season now in this county, especially in this state, is a fire year. We've seen large fires anywhere from January to December in every different part of the state, every different part of the county. So we're kind of getting into that high peak fire conditions this time of year when we experience those large devastating fires fanned by the Santa Ana winds. Last winter, we did have a lot of rain, and we're not currently in a drought, but we still do have a lot of that grass that was grown in this winter and the spring. And now that grass has started to cure, so that the fire is going to be carried by that grass into the heavier fuels. So we're not out of the woods yet. Even though it's cooler out today, we're still expecting large above normal potential for large wildland fires through December.
Yeah, and we're already seeing some large ones. So far, not in San Diego County too much, but we're seeing some really big ones burning up in San Bernardino and Los Angeles and Riverside and Orange counties. A couple of 100,000 acres that have burned up there, you know, just in the last couple of weeks or so. So what should people be doing to prepare?
Well, we want to take advantage of this this cooler weather and the higher humidity to maintain our defensible space. That defensible space goes from 0 feet from your house to 100 feet around the structures up to your property line. So we want to make sure that we're thinning the fuels around your house to make it more survivable. We want to do that work in the morning when the temperature is cooler, the humidities are higher, and we have a better chance of not starting a fire while we're doing that work. So we might be doing the right thing the wrong way. So we want to try to use those safeguards with the higher humidity and the right tools to maintain that defensible space.
Yeah. Now, I understand there are some new requirements coming down the road here for fire safety, specifically how far you have to clear around your house. I think everybody knows there's been longstanding rules to clear, you know, up to 100 feet or more if you're in some of the real high fire risk areas. But now there's something new called Zone Zero that can affect up to the first 5 feet around your house. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Zone Zero has been kind of in effect for a couple of years now. It hasn't been enforced on existing construction. It has been enforced on new construction in the state responsibility areas within the zones of high fire danger and very high fire danger. So there's a map that kind of shows that if you have a question of which area you're in, and you can find that on fire.ca.gov.
Right. So it's not everywhere. If you're in a real urban area, this may not apply to you. If you're out in a high fire rural area, it probably does. If you're in between, you probably want to check the map. Yeah. Although it's a good idea, I think, wherever you are, if you can do this. So tell us what it means. Zone Zero is, I understand, the first, 5 feet around your house now?
Yeah, Zone Zero is from 0 to 5 feet from your house. And that's an area that we want to clear of flammable materials. Flammable materials could be like a garbage receptacle, wicker furniture, any firewood, anything that could catch fire by an ember. We want to keep at least 5 feet away from our house, if not further.
Now, I've read that may include plants. I mean, if you have plants or shrubs, green plants around your house within those first 5 feet, are you in violation of this?
If the plants are well irrigated and you've maintained those plants so that there's all the dead vegetation or the dead parts of the plant are cut off, we feel comfortable with that. But if you're having dry or dead vegetation up to the house, that's when you would be in violation.
Got it. And I know I've seen the video that CAL FIRE put out that shows just how dramatically effective this is. Folks out there, it showed, you know, two structures. One of them had a wood fence right up to the house and, you know, landscaping and so forth. The other one had a metal fence and hardscaping. And when the match was lit, one of those just went up in flames in moments, really, and the other one didn't burn. So it certainly showed how important this can be, even though it can be maybe a hassle or costly sometimes to do those things.
Yeah, and we're finding that the houses normally don't burn down with the flame front that comes through. It's these embers that come through, and the embers can travel miles ahead of the fire. So we want to make sure that we're maintaining that space, because that's going to potentially well, it's going to protect the house, but if you need to use the house as a temporary refuge, that's going to give you that upper hand and be able to survive in your house a lot longer than you would if you had all that flammable material within that 5 feet.
Yeah, you mentioned the embers. I want to talk about the other zones going out past 5 feet, but first, can you mention these ember-resistant roof vents and how important those are now?
Yeah, all of our gable vents and soffit vents, they're important to keep ventilation in our attic, but that's also a prime location for embers to enter your that area, that space in there between your roof and your ceiling. And once the fire gets established in that attic, it's very hard to extinguish. So we want to make sure that we have the either netting or a metal netting or the fire safe the gable vents that are able to extinguish those embers before they get in. We want to make sure that if you're using that wire mesh, that it's at least a quarter inch, if not an eighth inch wide opening on those.
Got it. Now, as we go out to the other zones, can you walk us out past zone zero, the first 5 feet from a structure? What do people know, need to know about what they should do in the additional zones around their house?
Yeah, so there's three zones. Zone 0 to 5 feet from your house. Zone one is 5 feet to 50 feet from your house, and that's an area where we want to keep it lean. We want to clean within that 50 feet. We want to remove all dead plants, remove any dead or dying leaves, and trim your trees up off the ground. Make sure that they have that vertical spacing and that horizontal spacing. So if fire were to come into your yard, that the fire wouldn't be carried from shrub to shrub or from tree to tree. Up into closer to your home. And then zone two is 50 to 100 feet. We want to make sure that we cut down any grass to a maximum of 4 inches. We want to keep that horizontal space between the bushes. We want to make sure that those bushes aren't close to trees, because that bush could create what we call a ladder fuel. And as the ground fire comes up, it could catch that bush on fire, and it would be closer to the tree, and it would climb that tree essentially like a ladder. And then we're getting a lot more embers once that fire gets into the tree. So that those are the three zones, and we want to go out to 100 feet or to the property line. There's currently no way for us to enforce that 100 feet on an adjacent property. But if you do have that situation, maybe you can reach out to your neighbor and create that relationship to maybe get the 100 feet around your home.
Yeah, I understand they've now got something called fire. I believe, is it fire safe communities? Is that the term? Something that people can sign up for, get their neighbors involved in, which can actually help reduce your fire insurance rates or make it easier to get fire insurance, which is such a big problem for people these days. Can we touch on that a bit?
Yeah, we have a few FireWise communities in this county. They're normally through our community risk reduction of County Fire and the Fire Safe Council work together with the Office of State Fire Marshal to meet those requirements to become a FireWise community. And there are some additional benefits with the insurance in that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I understand it doesn't even have to be everybody in the community. Well, people have said, what if my neighbor won't do it? But if, I guess if you get that critical mass of, enough people will, and it doesn't have to be an entire zip code or an entire city, it can be a portion of it, a neighborhood, then you can get some savings on your insurance rates to help keep everybody safer.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is to get involved with those fire safe councils, engage with your neighbors, and it's a community effort, because we want to make sure that everybody's staying safe. We want to make sure that we're checking in on those neighbors, making sure that everybody's kind of on the same page to maintain our fire safety.
Absolutely. So, where can people get more information about the new zone requirements and also about the FireWise communities?
So for the zone requirements, we can go to fire.ca.gov slash dspace. That's D as in Delta space, And that will give you a checklist to assess your home and your property. It'll give you information on evacuation planning and how to set up a wildfire action plan. And that will assist you in planning on what projects you want to tackle first.
But if you could send me the links for all of these, then what we can do, folks, is we can put them up on our website at eastcountymagazine.org. Just look for our interview with Captain Mike Cornett on there, and you'll be able to find links to the FireWise community information, as well as Zone Zero and lots of other good fire safety information for you. And I also encourage everybody to follow the CAL FIRE alerts that are really helpful. They're out there on X, which used to be Twitter. Any other resources like that for people to stay abreast when fires happen that you'd like to refer folks to?
Yeah, so on social media, we suggest that you follow CAL FIRE San Diego on X and Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can follow at SD Sheriff on X. Mm-hmm. Another good one is at Alert San Diego Co. So that's Alert San Diego Co. on X, and that's the Office of Emergency Services. We suggest that you download the SD Emergency app. That will give you resources and information, and as well as the Genesis Protect app. That's going to give you real-time information and an interactive map to see the evacuations. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we want you to visit fire.ca.gov, and that will give you all the incident fact sheets and incident information for the entire state of California. And it'll provide resources such as 3D maps, a situation summary, and to see how many firefighters are out there on the line.
Yeah, that's great. We're following, I think, all of those for our East County Wildfire and Emergency Alerts, which is another service that's free that people can sign up for. We send them via email and we tweet them on I don't have to call it tweets anymore, but on X, that used to be Twitter. And I always tell people there's no such thing as signing up for too many emergency alert services, but it's really important to stay safe and stay informed when fires happen. And when you're asked to evacuate, to do so, right?
Yeah, when it comes time to evacuate, we don't take that decision lightly. It's a joint decision between fire and law enforcement. The sheriff's officer deputy is right next to us. And when we make those decisions to evacuate, we don't do so lightly, because we want to protect life and property. And then as soon as we make those decisions to evacuate, we start with a repopulation plan, because we want to keep the residents out until it's safe to bring them back. And we want to do that sooner than later.
Super. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us today. Is there anything else, Captain Cornett, that you would like our audience to know that I haven't specifically asked you about today?
I would say that these fires to our north are a good wake-up call for us to make sure that we have those evacuation plans in order, to make sure that go bag is stocked and it's next to your door. And if you have to evacuate, you might only have minutes and you might only have seconds. So mm-hmm. having everything in place beforehand is going to make you a lot more efficient and safer in that evacuation process.
Yeah, and that should certainly include things like, you know, vital medications, water, food for your any pets that you have with you, infant formula if you have babies, you know, vital papers that you couldn't live without, like your insurance information and so forth. And what else? What else do you recommend people put in a blanket, flashlight?
Prescription medicines, pets, people, plastic. So you have your cards or some cash, mm-hmm. and anything that's irreplaceable. Like you said, the documents and food and water to sustain you for at least 72 hours.
Yeah, car charger for your phone is another good one. Folks, if you tuned in late, we have been speaking with Captain Mike Cornett with CAL FIRE. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ.
Thank you for having me.